Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. And a big shout out to all our listeners of the next chapter with Charlie. I want to say, are we in for a different kind of show today? As you probably know, for the last two shows, I have attempted to discover the basic tenets of theology, non-theology. And we've talked about atheism and theism in an effort to understand how people approach their inner and outer lives. In the theistic world, we would call this spirituality. It's difficult to call that spirituality in the atheistic world. Well, today, I want to continue with the third and final of our efforts in discussing spirituality, and I want to look through a third medium, and it is through hallucinogens. And this is a particular hallucinogen called ayahuasca. It's a chemical that scientist Rick Strassman called the spirit molecule in the 1990s. I've discovered several substances that once would have been referred to as recreational drugs are now being studied by major institutions like Johns Hopkins and the University of San Francisco, especially regarding the use of psilocybin for managing PTSD, depression, and anxiety. But today, we're here to talk about the medicinal use of the plants that make up the hallucinogen ayahuasca. My studies show that thousands of people from around the world travel to the Amazon every year to drink ayahuasca for mental health conditions, including alcoholism, depression, anxiety, PTSD, eating disorders, and drug addictions. My guest today, whom I will refer to as Dan, has attended 18 ayahuasca ceremonies and is a strong advocate of the medicinal advantages of the chemical, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And Dan is not a druggie. In fact, he is a seasoned business executive with an MBA and 30 years experience in founding and running businesses. Dan was also an officer in the Marine Corps. Obviously, Dan is not your typical recreational drug user. Finally, Dan really wanted me to let you know that he's been happily married for 20 years, chose not to procreate, and instead likes to save needy dogs. So without further introduction, let's get into educating ourselves on the experiences and advantages or disadvantages of the use of ayahuasca, Strassman's spirit molecule. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Charlie. It's good to be here.
Well, it's really great to have you. You know, Dan, you have this really impressive business resume, which I just barely got into. But you decided to pursue self-understandings by a means that's most unconventional, and it's namely ayahuasca. Can you tell me, to start with, what was your rationale for even experimenting with this hallucinogen?
Well, I've all my life I've been, you talk about spirituality and theism and atheism and everything, I've been a religious, spiritual guy all my life. And I realized that who I am, the voice you're hearing and the body that I live in, is not really who I am. Who I really am is the essence, the spirit of who I am. And I had heard about ayahuasca all my life. I'd heard it, but it was a word, didn't know what it was. I associated with people that knew what it was. And by the way, for our listeners, the spelling is A-Y-A-H-U-A-S-C-A. And you know, while you're listening, do what I did. Is once I had a mentor advise me once. They said, well, you know, you might want to give it a go. He knew me. And so I did my diligence. I Googled it, found a whole bunch of great information on it, and felt strong and courageous enough to delve into the medicine. And we call it a medicine. It's two separate plant substances from the Amazon. They're pure substances. It's all natural. And they're brewed together, and they come together, and they create a hallucinogenic brew. And
one of the plants is an ayahuasca plant, right?
Right, ayahuasca, and then there's another plant that has DMT. So DMT, I'm not going to tell you what the scientific name is, but if you want to know more about it, there's a really good piece. And by the way, ayahuasca it's impossible to describe the experience, because it's a spiritual, transcendent experience. And she is a female spirit. It's kind of once you induce, you know what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of renowned people that are have celebrity statuses are proclaiming that ayahuasca is going through a renaissance right now. Some it was like a spiritual renaissance. So she found me because I was ready for the experience. And I've induced, as I say, 18 times over about a 2.5 year period. And it was
now, is that a lot?
Yeah, well, there's some people. There's a gentleman, Graham Hancock, who's a prolific author. He wrote a couple books, again, if you want to research this. One book's called Supernatural. The other book's called The Divine Spark, where he addresses hallucinogenics and ayahuasca and psychedelics when it comes to broadening your understanding of who you are as a soul and as a spirit in this life. So he's done it about 60 times. Last I heard from him about a year ago. So he sat many times. I'm told that 18 sessions is a lot. All I know is what I know. I was just put into a position where she called me and I tried it a couple. I tried the experience a couple times, and then I continue to sit maybe once every couple months. There's usually two night sittings, and I would sit a couple nights in a row. And the way it works is it's a brew, and you sit in a meditation ceremony with typically maybe 8 other people. It's a shaman led ceremony. And
what is a shaman?
A shaman is like a spiritual leader, somebody who knows about things, and they actually kind of guide you through the process. And it's a meditative process. You get into a meditative state. Usually it's at night where it's dark. It can be done inside or outside. All of my sessions were inside. And you sit down, and there's a collection of people, and they're usually total strangers, but you sit down, and then there's a kind of a sacred blessing because it is a very sacred medicine. And then when the induction is done, usually you drink about an ounce, maybe 2 ounces of the substance. And it takes maybe about 20 minutes, half an hour to kick in. And during that period, it's a very calm, sacred meditative space. And it's not a recreational substance. It's not something you're doing that is you're trying to change your state. For me, ayahuasca is a healing medicine. So during that 20-minute period, you transition from lucidity into what I call transcendence.
You're the 20-minute period before ingesting the ayahuasca
Between ingestion and where she actually overtakes you, because what it is she goes through your gastrointestinal system and you digest the substance, and then for the next 4 hours you're in state, and then after about 4 hours you transition out of state. And there's not a crash or a hangover, it's just a transition. And then for the next couple days, you're not high, but you're feeling, the best way to describe it is enlightened. I just feel enlightened and empowered and understanding myself better. But that's the high-level flyover of it. Quick induction, couple ounces, 1 ounce. Some people do less, some people do more. I've known people that have done microdosing because they want to kind of maintain a state. But it's really that four-hour experience where... For me, it's transcendence. You transcend. You actually leave your body in your psychology. But the nice thing about ayahuasca is she allows you to stay lucid during that transcendence.
Help me understand one thing that you referred to really early on in your great introduction here. And you said she was calling you. Now, first of all, who is she? And what does a call mean? How does somebody know they're being called? But tell me the she part first.
Well, I didn't know it was a he or she until I experienced the medicine. And then you realize that it's a feminine spirit. And it's not a judgment of man or woman or masculine or feminine.
Right.
It's just a feminine spirit.
Right.
And one of the things that we call her grandmother ayahuasca. She's an authority, basically. She's a loving, respectful grandmother type who is going to show you what you need to see in your life in order to transcend, for me personally, things that are holding me back. So the reason she came to me, as I mentioned before, this gentleman who I had a lot of respect for, mentioned in passing that, hey, have you ever heard of ayahuasca? I said, well, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it was. And he put me in touch with an organizer, and I was vetted, because it's not for everybody. You have to be qualified to do it. You have to be in good physical condition. You can't be on any psychoactive or any sort of a drug that balances your psychology. If you are, you're just not qualified for it. You have to cleanse a week in advance, so no alcohol, no any other drug, no pork, no red meat. So you have to go into the experience with a clean gastrointestinal system so that the medicine can actually be good to you. And if you don't, it may end up being a bad experience.
Oh, okay.
That's just my experience.
Let's get back to this thing about it, because we use in Christianity, we use the word call a lot. Is it something that you just had this intense feeling inside that you needed to try this, to give this thing a shot? Is that how she called you?
Well, it came from this gentleman that I had a lot of respect for, and he knew me as a kind of a spiritual guy, and that he knows me as a seeker and somebody who's strong in essence. And he mentioned it to me, and I trusted him, so that's where I did my diligence, and then I researched it. And I said, well, let's give it a go. So then I had to schedule it and had to go through the cleanse. I had to coordinate to be in the room with the shaman and the other people. And so for me, that was the kind of the calling.
Okay.
And I've actually directed other people that I say, well, you know, hey, you might want to try ayahuasca. But they end up not doing it because it really is, Charlie, it's an initiation process is what it is. It's not something that's fun. As I say, we call it a medicine, and it is a medicine. It can be a tough medicine.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Why do you call it a medicine?
So when you induce, it's actually a substance, and during the process of transcendence, and again, I've done it 18 times, and it's been 18 wonderful, unique experiences, but there's catharsis involved. She will bring you to places of your psychology, like she did with me, into, you know, depths of grief where I've actually grieved the loss of so many things. I also experienced agape love. I didn't know what agape love was until I was in state, and now I know what it is. I now, after all these processes, actually probably after the first couple or few, I now better understand myself and my purpose as a human deeper on an unconscious level. So it helped me affirm my self-worth and my inner strength, and it affirms my spiritual power. So for me, the calling stemmed from, it was almost like I was mature enough to be able to have the courage to induce this medicine, and she knew the time was right, and I surrendered to the medicine, and the time was right. That's kind of the essence of the calling for me.
Okay, and so you said you've learned a lot about yourself personally, and there's been a lot of insights. What types of insights have you seen into you? I mean, how would you say you're a different person as a result you're sitting in ceremony?
So now, I mean, like I said, it's still a journey. I'll probably sit again, you know, when the time is right. But now, after my experiences, and like I say, over about a 2.5 year period, I did it 18 times. But I would say after a few times, because the first time you induce the medicine, for me, my ego had to come to terms with the fact that the experience requires surrender. So you have to be in a safe environment. It's got to be something that's, you know, because not all shamans are, I understand. I've been exposed only to good, reputable, honest, good-hearted people, shamans. But you have to make sure that it's, because when you surrender, I mean, you're pretty much out. And I understand that while during the process of being in state, people have taken advantage of other people. So just be aware of that and realize that it's important that you find somebody that is reputable. They're of repute.
Yeah, so, just like any discipline.
Right. So keeping that in mind. And then what it is, when I surrendered to the medicine and I let her take me where she wanted to take me, and she showed me some amazing stuff, ultimately the net of it for me is I feel like I've got a heightened level of spiritual awareness, more of a holistic perspective and understanding, and a psychological enlightenment and an awareness of who I am and why I'm on this planet, what my purpose is. And it's very affirming, very empowering. And it's part of that, it's almost an initiation. An experience is like, it's like an indoctrination. And an initiation isn't necessarily an easy process, because she confronts me with things that I didn't want to be confronted with, family of origin issues. Like I say, there's catharsis, there's tears. There's tears of joy, but there's also tears of sadness. And from my experience, I've become a better man because of those experiences of surrender to a spirit and it finding myself as I transcend the way I've never experienced myself before.
Is the objective the same as therapy?
Actually, I heard it said once that 4 hours with ayahuasca is like 4 years of psychotherapy. I mean, it's intense, and it is.
So the ultimate goal is similar.
Yeah, you actually come out of it actualized, self-actualized. And a big aspect of it is the processing. Because as you can imagine, when you go through this process and you're there for 4 hours and you come out of it and it's the middle of the night, that I'll tell you one thing. I never sleep as well as I do after I induce. The sleep is so wonderful and sacred. And then with one specific shaman, we woke up the next morning and we discussed it as a group and we shared our experiences. And it's the processing of it. I showed you my journal earlier. I've got pages and pages of journaling that I've done after the experience. Because it just allowed me to really come to terms with certain things. And I wrote it down. Journaling's a big component of success in life, I think. And after an ayahuasca journey, it's really important to write down those enlightening perspectives lest you lose them and not remember, you know, where the enlightenment came from. So I mentioned before the cleanse, the meditation, the surrender, the post-processing. And another aspect of it, by the way, you and I talked about this, Charlie, is the purge. A lot of people don't want to do because they hear about the vomiting. And
oh, so the purge is vomiting.
Yeah, it's vomiting, basically. And it's not because it's a poison. It's just, basically what it is for me, the purge was a sacred release of things that were hanging on to me that I just didn't need anymore. And it's kind of hard to describe it because as human beings, we're sitting here as regular, normal people. We don't want to vomit. We don't want to purge. But in a sacred ayahuasca ceremony, once you get there, the purge is a wonderful, wonderful, just releasing cathartic experience. So that's something else to expect from it. But for me, it was all just part of the process.
Okay, what I'd like you to do is, because the great majority of my listeners have never even, probably even thought of this, let alone tried it. And I'm sure a couple have experiences with it. You refer to a ceremony. What is a ceremony? It sounds sort of religious. Is there a religious sort of aspect to it? I mean, not necessarily is it tied to in a religion, but is there sort of a ritual process?
Yeah, like
to
a
it?
Process. Giving you a process. It's like a ritualistic process because the key is that you want to when you go in, you want to go in with a sacred heart, a calm heart, where you're surrendering to the spirit. And the nice thing about the meditative process and the ceremony is that a good shaman, and fortunately I've only had good shamans in my experiences, will actually put you into a state of kind of sacred surrender where you have this meditative essence. I heard it once, said once that ayahuasca experience is like forced meditation because she takes you into some deep places of transcendence where your mind is so calm that you actually start seeing things. You're not necessarily hallucinating, but it's you see some things and you experience some things about yourself, and I can only speak for myself. So myself, that allow me to experience me at a deep level, and it's important that the ceremony is kind of teed up in that sacred way. And who knows, maybe you don't have to do it that way. My experience is you tee it up and you induce the medicine with a sacred heart, you actually end up having a wonderful, sacred experience. Not necessarily an easy experience, but a sacred experience.
You know, back in my day, back in the 70s, when I was 20, you know, there was, I can't say I'm fond of saying, but I say there probably isn't a drug out there I didn't do. You know, I was a full-blown hippie. And so, you know, I certainly tried LSD and psilocybin and mushrooms and, you know, ayahuasca, I'd never even heard of it. I'm sure it was in existence, but it wasn't one of the common recreational drugs. Now, with that was hallucinization. Really, my take on that was that it was an enhancement of all the senses. All the senses were just kept. Somebody explained it to me that we have, for hearing and seeing, you know, we have 100 receptacles and only 10 of them we use, but under the influence of a psychedelic, we may use 20, and that's why walls seem to move and things seem to move. Is there that kind of experience with ayahuasca? Is there a heightening of the senses?
Yes, definitely. Extremely.
Extremely.
Don't know how else to put that, but it's extreme.
It's in what way?
Well, so we talk about right now where I'm going is I'm imagining the time, which is now in my past, of the experience, and during that, you know, the induction is done. It's a sacred induction where you drink the elixir. And then 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, all of a sudden, and there's sounds, and it's usually quiet. Maybe there'll be some chanting that the shaman will do. Maybe there'll be some music. But there's the sounds start, I don't know how else to say it, but they start meaning different things. I mentioned before, one of my shamans will shake leaves. And when you hear the leaves, the dry leaves shaking, it sounds like wings fluttering. And when the state hits, I feel like there's like a flight that's happening.
Oh.
And that's just one aspect. That's the sense of hearing. And usually it's in a dark room, so the sense of sight is not part of it. But you actually will see some visions in your mind's eye. There's the tactile experience. Your feelings on your skin is enhanced. Your brain processes are enhanced. So, yeah, it's extremely enlightening and enhancing.
Enlightening and enhancing. And how do you in this drug-induced state, how do you make sense of it all?
Well, during the process, you really don't. Like I say, I could share with you some experiences.
And we're going to do that after a break, but
okay.
I want to...
Yeah, during the process, you don't. It's afterwards that you actually process it.
Oh, okay. So during it, you really don't.
Yeah. You surrender to the medicine, and she takes you where she wants to take you. And some of the time, you don't want to go there.
Okay, you know what I want to do is I want to take a break, and then I want to come back, and I want to go through the movie. You know, I want to see what it feels like, and so I'd like you to take me through an entire experience. Okay, so take me through the ceremony, what's going on. I'm assuming the ceremony begins with some sort of ritual, some sort of process, and then you go off into your experience. And try to explain to me as best you can what this experience is like. Are you up for that?
I'm up for it.
Okay, that's cool. Let's take a quick break. Hi, everybody. This is Charlie Hedges, and you're listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie, and are we out on a limb? We're talking about the spiritual uses of the psychedelic hallucinogen called ayahuasca, which is gaining popularity quite a bit. That there's a lot of, we don't want to say the names, but a lot of really well-known names. I guess one that has died, we could say it is that Steve Jobs had experimented with it, but there's a lot of that ilk. Now, my special guest today is Dan, and we're obviously using a pseudonym. And I've asked Dan in this second half to explain to me. I want to know if I were to go do this thing, what would I expect? What would the ceremony, the pre-ceremony, look like? What would my, you know, after my 20 or 30 minutes of waiting for to get, as you called it, in state? Is that what you said, in state?
Yeah, in state.
To get in state, what happens to me when I'm in state?
Well, so the key is you want to put yourself into a comfortable environment. And I learned that the hard way. I went in and I put down a cushion and I saw all these other people making nests with blankets and pillows. And the first couple times I did it, there were maybe 10 other people in the room, and then the shaman, and then he had an apprentice, and then a couple assistants. So it was a pretty good setup. So sit down, you get comfortable. You get into a meditative state. Usually the shaman will say a couple words, greet everybody. Some of the time you know some people in the room, some of the time you don't. Doesn't matter. You're all in this together. And, you'll maybe greet people, extend pleasantries. And I always acknowledge my fellow journeyers because it's a journey. Thank you for your courage. I appreciate your courage on this journey that we're about to embark upon together. And then the shaman will typically explain, you know, just a couple things. Some of the time, if there's seasoned people in the room that have done the medicine many times, he won't say anything. and you just induce, and then the induction is done through drinking again the ayahuasca medicine, and that's done in a sacred way. Some of the time, the shaman will come to you in your spot while you're sitting there in your nest, and then some of the time, you may go to the front and have actually have the shaman serve you the ayahuasca in a cup, and then you drink the cup, and then you go back to your space. And you know, it's a sacred meditative process. So you pray, you do whatever you want to do. You're quiet, you're respecting everybody else's space. And then over the course, I'd say over 20, 30 minutes, the sounds become enhanced.
And this is a pitch black room.
It's a pitch black room. You don't see anything, but sounds become enhanced, and that's where you know you're going into an experience. And then after that, it's really impossible to describe the experience. And I'll say this from a first-person perspective. You know, I say you, but this, I can only speak toward my experience. I transcended. I actually left my psychology. I left my mind. I left my body. And I went to places. Some of the places that I can describe is, and I didn't know where the medicine was going to take me, but she took me to once a place of grief. And I actually grieved. I understood the essence of Catholic grief. I mean, the guilt that comes along with a theological belief system where there's guilt and there's shame. I experienced that. I went into the catacombs of grief, and I cried and I grieved. And
Were you thinking of a certain situation, or is it just...
It was grieving loss and death, and I've had death, and grieving, for instance, one aspect in my mind's eye during that process was I was grieving the apocalypse. Wow, what devastation, what death, what tragedy. And it was that essence of grief and the heart of that, and I went to the depths of that. And as I say, I'm sitting here trying to describe it to you, and I can't do it justice in words, but that was one aspect of it. There's another aspect where I actually met a spiritual teacher who I believe is my spiritual alter ego. It's a power. It's a force that goes back into...
You met your spiritual teacher in your mind, not physically.
No, in my mind. It was all... Nothing manifests itself physically in this context at all. It's all in your mind. And I met this alter ego, and it was... Again, as I try to describe it, just imagine, you know, think of like a Mayan, like a native indigenous Mayan leader with a headdress or whatever. But it was more of this essence and this power of awareness, of deep spiritual, psychological, existential awareness. And I met this, and this alter ego let itself know that this is who I was in my core. And as I came out of that, I felt so large, just expanded. I felt like I was empowered. I was enlightened as to who I really was in my core, in the depths of my mind and my psychology.
Was it different than what you thought of yourself as before?
Well, I always kind of knew that I was a powerful, smart guy, but this was more of an essence, almost like a deity. Where I met this, and this deity showed itself up in subsequent ceremonies as well, and I came to terms with it. And frankly, for me, Charlie, the way I distilled the meaning, it was responsibility. It made me aware of what my responsibility is during this life. And I'm a pretty smart, empowered guy. You know, I'm a business leader, and I now know after several sessions with ayahuasca that I have a responsibility to influence the world in a positive way and create community and create peace and bring people together and, you know, get away from this division and all this ego and this power that people are trying to do and, you know, all the greed that's out there. It's not about that. It's about knowing who we are at our source, at our core. And that's who I met during ayahuasca ceremonies.
That sounds amazing. And yet, I'm sitting here trying to picture it without experiencing it, trying to picture it. These are not coming in words. These are coming in feelings. These are coming in visions.
Yeah, it's funny. As the time passes during the four-hour period, visions come and go. A lot of people see reptiles. Snakes is something that's popular. And you see things that you can't even describe. You see structures, fractals, lights, You see darkness, sounds. I'll never forget. One of the instruments that my shaman played was a guitar. I've never heard a guitar played like that before. It was when the resonance that comes off the string and the sound, it made me realize what sound really is. It's frequency. It's energy. And I got to experience that. Like I say, if we can sit here and try to put it into words, Charlie, you can't put it into words. So I'm sitting here describing it to you, and it's almost doing the process an injustice. You know, it's, if you want to try it, it's really, frankly, only an experience that you can experience. It's not a cerebral thing that you can analyze. The first time I did it, I sat and I allowed my ego to come to terms with it. And I timed it and I stayed lucid most of the time. The second time I did it, my ego was allowed to check out, and I totally transcended. I surrendered
to the medicine. So the first time you tried to control it yourself?
I tried to control it. And she let me. The medicine let me. I've heard some people that try to control it, and she just kind of gets brutal on them, and they have bad experiences. I've been in rooms with people that have had hysterical experiences. They actually just cried and screamed, and we have to calm them down. And I've become now more of a facilitator. I know how to manage the energy in a room. And eventually, it ended up that catharsis for this one person, and it was actually a couple people during the ceremony, ended up being a wonderful experience for them because they went into some depths of panic and grief. And the nice thing about it is you're in a community with a shaman-led experience and other people that are all there to support one another. It really shouldn't be done on an individual level, frankly. I couldn't imagine that. But the nice thing about it is the community and the collection. There's a book called Ayagogi, written by Dr. Roan Kaufman, and he describes the process really well. And it actually unpacks it, and it talks about the experiences. And I mentioned before, Graham Hancock described some of his experiences. But as I describe my experiences, they're unlike anybody else's experiences. The experience is unique to you. And one of the things, by the way, is in America, it's an illegal substance. It's a class one substance. And the way that Kaufman describes in his book, it's the hegemony. The government doesn't want enlightened people. That's why it's been illegalized. And it's funny, once you experience it and you realize the level of enlightenment and self-actualization that you bring up, that you acquire through this process, it's like I'm liberated. I'm free. I know who I am and what my purpose is, and I'm more of a world changer. I'm a power. I'm a force on the planet now.
And you feel that as a result of these ceremonies that you've attended.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, I mean, you talk about
you were pretty powerful before.
And by the way, initiations. I've been through lots of initiations. The Marine Corps initiated me. I went through lots of different initiations, and I could tell you lots of. And this is an initiative process. I mean, it's something that when you go through it, you come out of the better on the other side, a better, empowered, stronger, resilient, resourceful human. I do. But you have to go through the process. You have to go through the initiation. So the ceremony, again, it's not necessarily fun. It's a medicine. It's a sacred medicine, and when you take your medicine, she's going to show you things that you need to see to become the person that you were meant to become, if you treat it with a sacred respect.
How do people normally, are they aware of that when they go into their first experience? Are they aware that this is something that it's not going to be, it's not just recreational, it's going to be fun, but are they aware that they are really going into deep psychological and
challenge and initiation,
yeah, yeah,
and catharsis?
Are they aware of that?
Well, they're aware of it now because we're talking about it. But if people are serious about doing this, I would recommend doing some diligence. There's a YouTube video out there called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. It's an hour and 13 minutes long, and Joe Rogan is one of the people who facilitates it. But there are some experts, and if you're interested, go to YouTube. It's a free video. Watch it. And it'll tell you what you need to know. And it'll also help you make a decision as to whether or not you want to go there. I know some people that want to experience the medicine, but they refuse to surrender control. They refuse to purge. And that's all well and good. If it's not for you, then don't do it. Frankly, the medicine's not for most people, I think, Charlie. It's for people that are committed.
Who's it for?
It's for people that are committed to deep levels of spiritual actualization. And that's not necessarily an easy thing. You talk about psychotherapy. I've been on the psychotherapy couch since I was 14 years old, so I kind of know who I am. You know, the whole AA process is a big part of who I am. Read lots of books around enlightenment. My father was a Baptist minister. You know, I was a.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heeded many altar calls as a Christian, so I feel like I know who I am in my heart.
So you're a recovered Baptist?
Yes. Yes. But and I respect that theology. I respect
yes, of
that
course.
That
of
dogma.
Course.
This is not dogma. This is not doctrine. This is experiencing the essence of who you are at your spirit, who I am at my spirit. And like I say, it's an initiation. And I did my diligence before I went into the room the first time. I read the books. I did the diligence. I talked to some people who've experienced it before. I watched the video. Tim Ferriss, by the way, who is a mainstream author now, writes about ayahuasca. He's a seasoned ayahuascaero.
And he's a huge podcaster. He talks about it all the time.
Yeah. And Tools of Titans is the book that he talks about ayahuasca in. And it's how, there's another really good book. So when you're researching this, there's a gentleman named Stephen Kotler who wrote a book called Stealing Fire. And it talks about the imperative of challenge in order for you to become the person you want to be. Navy SEALs go through initiation, and he talks about that in Stealing Fire. He talks about the essence of psychedelics and hallucinogens for you to transcend your existence and really allow yourself to see. For me, I got to see who I really was in my heart, in my mind, in my soul.
So what are the dangers? There's got to be some downside. You know, back in the old LSD days, they had the bad trips, you know. Do people have bad negative experiences? You know, you said you went through grief and it was a positive experience for you, but I could see how for some people that could be under the influence of a hallucinogen that could be extremely potent and negative for them.
Well, and that's part of it too, is if anybody's on any sort of thing like a Zoloft or a psychoactive type drug, like a pharmaceutical drug that has to balance their psychology, you can't do it. It'll actually have a negative effect. So, like I say, before you go into this, you've got to be vetted. You've got to be interviewed by the shaman or an organizer. You've got to be qualified to do it. You have to be somebody who is, for me, I'm a seeker. So for me, they welcome me into their community because I was somebody who was open and receptive, and I'm not there with a hidden agenda. I was there to discover and to journey, as I mentioned before. But from a danger perspective, nobody has ever died in ceremony. I can't imagine that there's a dangerous effect, because my experience with everybody that I've ever talked to or that I've experienced with or for myself, the only byproduct has ever been a positive enlightenment experience. But like I say, if you've got a brain chemistry that is not conducive toward going to those places, it's important to understand that. So the first thing is if you're on any sort of a substance, typically like a pharmaceutical drug that helps control your psychological,
serotonin
or something like that, that'll influence that aspect of your psychology, it's really important to address that and be responsible about it. But like I say, I've never heard of anybody, nor have I read, and I've read extensively, of anybody ever having a bad psychoactive experience unless they were not effectively qualified. I actually sat through a ceremony with somebody once who actually had a drink of alcohol a day prior, and he had a bad experience. He didn't go psychotic, but it was, he panicked, and the medicine was trying to do something to him because he wasn't clear, he wasn't cleansed, his body wasn't cleansed. The medicine kind of taught him a lesson, and he came out of it the next day, and we talked about it, and he said, that was such a valuable lesson I just learned.
What about, you know, what about all this writing that I have read that talks about, let me look up, I'm looking up my notes right now, that says that people go to the Amazon, which is evidently the place to go to, or where it originated. And they said they go to drink it to deal with mental disorders or mental health conditions, including alcoholism, depression, anxiety, PTSD, eating disorders, drug addictions. How in the world does this medicine, or does this brew, as you called it, how does it impact all of those things? I mean, does it make an alcoholic and not an alcoholic anymore?
You know, I mean, the answer is, I don't know. But let me tell you, if I do know, I'm going to make some deductions here. For me, it allows me to come to terms with the psychological components that would be the core of my addiction.
Right.
And, I mean, addiction can be controlled. I mean, if you're an addict, it's really important to abstain from that substance. But my experience with ayahuasca is she introduces you to the why the addiction exists. And back to psychotherapy, another thing I've learned is why my parents were who they were. You know, why I was raised in the condition that I was. And that allows me deep, deep self-actualization so that I can process that and live a more, for me, healthy, effective lifestyle so that I can stay away from things that are adversely affecting me. But you talked about PTSD. I've heard about people that no longer have PTSD after they've confronted what ayahuasca shows them they must confront in order for them to realize what the nature of that experience was. And it helps them reprogram that experience. So then after an experience or maybe a couple experiences in session with ayahuasca, they walk away redefining that trauma so that there doesn't have to be a disorder associated with that traumatic experience.
Yeah, I've read, and it's such an alarming rate of success. You know, I've read that people have actually been cured of alcoholism, drug addiction, and, you know, but I don't know how many times they've done it, how frequently they use ayahuasca. Does one or two experiences cure it, or does it not cure it? You know, it's just, you know, but these are anecdotal claims out there. They're not scientific. Now, there is, somebody is studying ayahuasca. I just read, and I didn't put it in my notes, but there is a study of ayahuasca that's going on right now.
Yeah. And they've been studying it since the 60s. But now they're actually getting deeper into it. But I've heard about these studies, and it's good to know that it's actually being looked at clinically. So that it, you know,
right.
Like I say, frankly, I think the medicine has a bad rap because a lot of people think that it's a recreation hallucinogen. I see it as a sacred medicine that allows me to understand who I am in my heart and my soul and my spirit.
Boy, and with these things, it is difficult. You know, I'm thinking of my audience and how they're that you really can't explain the exact process itself. I mean, the exact process of being, I think you use the word in state, the exact process of being in state, because it is an hallucinogen and there are strange things going on. But during that time, there are insights, I'm assuming, that
like I say, I could share hundreds of experiences as I try to put them into words. One experience is I met my spirit animal, and it happens to be a wolf in this case, and it was acquired through a specific journey, and I didn't know what my spirit animal was. I kind of resisted it. I was like, what's this mumbo jumbo spirit animal stuff? And next thing you know, there it was. It encountered me. It confronted me, and there was no doubt that this wolf was my spirit animal. And everybody has a different one. I know some people that have their spirit animal was a spider, you know, a snake, you know, or whatever.
Yikes.
It could be any, you know, but for me, it was a wolf, and that's unique to me. And ever since then, there was a part in this, in one of the ceremonies where it kind of choked me up, but because I remember it was very emotional, where that spirit animal actually consumed me. And not literally, of course, but it was all done psychoactively. And it was a surrender to a power and an essence that loved me so much that it wanted to consume me. And it did during ceremony. And I still remember that occasion. And it was sacred and it was wonderful.
Wow. That's an amazing description. So what would you suggest to my listeners, say, if this has sparked some curiosity? First thing you said is to do your due diligence. Look it up. Read up on it. You know, I mean, as we were sitting in the room before, Wikipedia has a great article on it.
Right.
I mean, that will just that will get you going and give you sources to look at from
there. I'm looking at that on my iPhone right now, and it's Wikipedia. It's if you want to go there, again, A-Y-A-H-U-A-S-C-A, just Google it, and the first link is going to be Wikipedia. That'll give you some good perspectives. It's very appropriate. There's history. There's talks about preparation. It talks about traditional usages, history. You know what the chemical structure of DMT is and why it works the way it does. Pharmacology, effects, legal status. I mean everything. And like I say, lots of books. That Iagogi book I think is the best one because it actually introduces you to some of the key components and some experiences from shamans, and they explain it. And why they do what they do,
What if I'm not a big reader? A lot of my listeners are not big readers. Find somebody who's look around, and you're going to find somebody who's experienced it somewhere.
Well, an alternative to reading is videos or listening. And like I say before, that go to YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. YouTube. Joe Rogan has all
DMT
those.
Spirit molecule. Type in those three words, and you'll see it. It's an hour and 13 minutes long. You'll see the icon is a purple icon. And the video will tell you what you need to know. And the key, Charlie, is that if it's not for you, you'll know it. If it is for you, if she's calling you, you'll know that too. And for me, I like I say, I knew about it. I had heard this word all my life, but I didn't know what she was. The key is that it came to me from a recommendation from a viable, respected source, and then I did my diligence. And I'm a pretty smart guy. And through the diligence process, I realized she found me, and now is my time. Some people may watch the video, read the books, and realize, wow, that's all well and good, but I'm not into that, and that's all perfectly fine. Because I believe that the medicine will select you when your time is right.
So tell me this. I'm gonna close with this, and here's my question. Take someone like me who is, I require serotonin. I require that medication. And if I don't have that medication, I'm kind of a crazy person. So am I just screwed? You know, I just have no chance of doing this thing, or do I?
No, I wouldn't judge that. I would actually, what I would do is while you're going through the vetting process and before you sit, you'll be run through some conversational processes with people that know more about it than I do. But make sure you find a reputable shaman who is going to determine whether or not you're qualified or not. I mean, if you've got a chemical imbalance that creates a psychological reaction, then we'll have to confront that and determine whether or not that's going to prohibit you. But serotonin is something we all have in our brains.
Right.
And
if
you've got an imbalance of that, that needs to be confronted. But then again, frankly, we all have an imbalance of everything, right? Nobody's ever perfectly balanced with anything. And the nice thing about ayahuasca, she is a natural substance. It's not a synthetic. So therefore, from my perspective, it's basically a plant. So it's the earth, the essence of the plant. And this is another thing that I experienced in my journey is that it's, you know, they call it Mother Earth. I realize that we are all one. It's kind of, again, it sounds like a woo-woo tenet. It sounds kind of strange, but it's all energy. We're all energetic beings. And one of the takeaways is that we all get to take care of one another. We all get to care for one another and stop being so violent and ego-bound and, you know, letting greed be the primary motive and be more respectful of one another as spirits and as souls, because that's where ayahuasca takes you, is that essence of yourself.
See, I wish we were on video right now. I wish people could see your face because you are so passionate and so convinced of this, of the power of this, and I hope it comes through on the radio that it has literally impacted your life significantly.
Well, it's made me more sane. I got to tell you, I feel sane. I feel stronger. I feel like I've got a stronger mind, self-aware. My bandwidth, I think faster. It's amazing. I just feel like I've got a stronger countenance and my mental faculties have been enhanced to this day. And by the way, it's been about a year since I've sat. And to this day, I can still feel the effects. I'm a changed person. I'm a better person because of my experiences with ayahuasca.
Well, let's close with that. That's a fascinating. So folks, here we've gone. We've given you three options. We've said you could say there is no God. There's no scientific proof for it. I don't believe that. I don't need that for a moral compass. I have other things going on for my moral compass and what's right for me in life and my pursuit in life. And I totally respect where the atheist was coming from. There's the theist that has a whole different perception that we get, that we are DNA'd with creator's DNA, and that has to do with our moral thinking and the way we live and the way we understand life. And now you're offering a third alternative, which is chemically induced, but it is getting, according to what I'm grabbing from you, it's getting into the natural you, into the real core you, and you're getting this wherever she comes from, grandmother ayahuasca, as if that's coming from the deepest part of your unconscious or your soul, or if that is an external source, it really doesn't make a difference as long as you're getting the message. Would I say that's right?
That's about right. Actually, for me, it's responsibility. I know I'm an old soul. I mean, I know that I've had lives, and I don't want to get theological or spiritual or whatever, but for me, it's my responsibility is to understand who I am mentally, physically, psychologically, and for me, the experience with ayahuasca has helped manifest that.
Incredible. Dan, thank you so much. This has been great having you here, and I want to thank you for spending time with me today, and I also want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to the next chapter with Charlie. I really hope this was an interesting interview for you, and I will look forward to your comments, and also be sure to check us out on our website at thenextchapter.life. That's LIFE. And until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie, right here at Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.